indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Travis Crawford.
Here.
Randy Pratt.
Here.
Darryl Knutson.
Here.
Todd McDaniel.
Here.
Chuck Savage.
Here.
We have four.
Everybody had a chance to check the minutes of our meetings.
Terry did.
I know Terry.
Terry.
Hey, Mark, you're not here, and I was going to be in here.
You wanted to be on the record as opposing.
I don't, you were sitting there.
I didn't vote.
I think he dreamed, argued with Dennis said opposed.
I don't think he was here, he's hallucinating.
I think he dreamed all that.
I was hallucinating. I'll move the approval.
I'll second. Go ahead.
We skipped a line item, didn't we?
We moved in second. I second, all in favor?
Aye.
Think we skipped item four?
Yes, sure, four.
Item number four.
You don't want to give it up?
No, he doesn't.
I move we elect Jerry chairman again.
I was getting my lunch.
It's okay. Take your time.
We have approvals.
We did that already, why are you getting your?
It's election law.
We approved the minutes, we put on election law.
Number, look at number four.
All right, thank you. Okay, we're going to have an election to elect the chairman and vice chairman.
I'll make a motion to reelect Jerry.
Jerry, that chair didn't want it.
We don't have a motion.
Don't have a.
Chair doesn't have a motion.
We got a motion. We don't have a second, do we?
What was the motion, I'm sorry?
He wanted to make a motion to reelect me, and I told him I didn't think that was a good idea.
Well, you can decline.
Well, I think it fails for lack of a second, then, doesn't it?
Yeah, okay.
Try again.
I nominate Derek Crawford for president.
Howie, have you served yet?
Howie, pardon?
You haven't served, have you served chair?
Served what, in the army or?
The chair.
Another chair?
No, I haven't. Oh, that's the hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My motion fails for lack of a second, too.
That's right, I'm not having Howie. And we have a motion, and now do we have a second for Howie?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. I think.
You told me every day.
You didn't cut heads, it might have failed.
I listened.
Next month.
Next month.
Next month.
Yeah. Jerry has to finish out the meeting.
Who's currently the vice chair?
The vice chairman is Howie.
Yeah.
So I guess we need a motion for vice chairman.
Right.
Yeah.
Who wants to serve as vice?
I make a motion with Terry as vice chair. He looks like he can be charged.
That's my job, so I'll take it.
Okay, I make a motion to nominate Mr. Crawford.
Second.
We have a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, that only took 5 minutes.
Four and a half, four and a half.
Here we go, unfinished business, terminal parking lot update, Matt.
We'll do both of them, we'll do the parking lot and the building construction. Parking lot, we're moving forward with that. It's been about a month and a half since we issued the notice to proceed. They've done quite a bit of work out there, the undergrounding and the utilities, the electric utilities, switch over of the electric with the control tower, and I believe they've put in almost 3/4 of the reinforced concrete drainage pipe from Alpha 5 all the way back to the actual parking lot area. That was a big job. The midfield access road there that connects the terminal ramp with the sheriff's ramp is blocked off. I believe that'll get capped this coming Friday, so that'll be reopened again. But they had to go through there with that drainage pipe. But we're moving forward. We've got some issues with CenturyLink. We need to get some approvals from the FAA on some communication relocations. And CenturyLink is in charge of that, but they're dragging their feet, so that's the only real hiccup that we've had in the entire project. Overall, it's still moving forward, we're still looking for a 120-day completion date, which would be about, what'd I say, the end of May, somewhere around there. So we're looking good with that. On the terminal building construction, we've had a couple meetings with the engineer, Michael Baker. They met with staff, they met with FBO, just trying to establish a baseline, what is essentially required to be in the terminal, what the expectations are of the FBO. They're gonna have a meeting with the city manager and make sure we hear his concerns, and then essentially we open it up to those public meetings, about seven of them. We'll schedule those public meetings in the next 2 weeks. We should have those scheduled. Board's invited to every single one of them. We'll notice them publicly. And that will be your chance to essentially opine on the design elements of the terminal building. You and everybody else, all the other tenants and users in that public meeting. I want to stress it's a meeting and not a hearing. So I've heard a few people confuse the two when talking about that, so it's going forward, the money's there, and
when are these public meetings over? How long do they last?
It'll be about 6 months. It'll take about 6 months to and the goal will end up being two different design schematics that we can choose from, and then jump into the 30% design phase with one of those two schematics. And that's the goal of the pre-design stuff that we're in right now.
So when would construction actually start? Approximately?
Probably towards the end of the year. I'm guessing that with the pre-design being 5 to 6 months, 30% design will be another several months. And then we have to, and then you've got 2 months to put it out as a design build. And you have to put it on the street for, you know, about 2 months' time, and then have the selection process, and then finally give the notice to proceed for that contractor.
I'm a little confused on your calling it a design build. As you know, we do design builds, and the way you're going about it is not the way a design build works. So I would like some explanation of what you're doing.
Sure. So we're doing the 30% design so that we can get the design build criteria and specifications, and essentially put the footprint of the building down and maintain as much control of the process as possible.
So what you're saying you're doing is having Michael Baker do conceptual designs and conceptual footprints, floor plans, etc. Once that's approved, then it'll go out to a formal design build proposal where you will hire, someone will be hired to hire an architect or engineers to do the actual building design.
The actual building design will be designed up to 30%. We'll have those 30% design in the design build package, and whoever the city decides to pick for that design build team will build off of that 30% design.
Okay. All right. I just heard you say Michael Baker was designing it. And
I think I said that Michael Baker's doing the 30% design. So, okay. But that's where we're at.
Is it correct about the design build you're talking about, of your concept of that, and the one that you're used to? I think are two different processes, aren't they?
Well, what we see is, as an owner comes to us and says we'd like to build a widget factory, and we find out what the owner wants in the widget factory, and then we get with an architect, and sometimes architects.
You hire the architect. You do the whole thing.
We do everything. And then that process allows the contractor to give input to the architects and engineers that help keep cost in check. In other words, there's always more than one way to skin a cat when you're building a building, and you would give them alternatives that they can pick from, which tends to lead to a lower cost as opposed to, you know, you're thinking you've got a $2 million budget, you bid it out, and it turns out to be $2.5 million, so.
I've used the concept from a building standpoint, but I think the city's design-build concept is one of more designing it and building it and different involved.
Somewhat of a hybrid. We're doing a little bit more on the front end than just doing a traditional complete.
Not exactly the same process.
Little different.
I got a question, Matt.
Do you think, Matt, the earliest that you're talking about a groundbreaking based on what you talked about, the earliest could be a year from now?
Yeah, it could be.
Early 27.
Worst case scenario.
Where if you did the traditional design build, you could be breaking ground in 6 to 8 months, so.
Matt, you mentioned a telecommunications company a minute ago.
CenturyLink.
Mm-hmm. What are they actually providing to the tower? And why are they dragging their feet for your?
It's the, some of the, part of the undergrounding of the utilities requires relocating the utilities, part of the parking lot project, and,
Electrical utilities from City of Ocala?
The electric utilities are done, that's a non-issue. What I'm talking about is communications.
I believe this, we have a separate T1 secure line behind the FA fire that connects with the tower. That we have a computer in the cab in my office that are behind FA firewall. And I believe that's the line that they have to get FA approval and move to the house.
So it's not the communications company that's holding it up, it's just a permitting for it?
No, it's the communications company is holding it up because they haven't even submitted for FA approval just yet, so.
Are they the only provider? Is that the only company in Ocala, Marion County that can do it?
What's their line?
Yeah.
It's their line.
Okay, I just.
I'm curious.
We had a meeting on it yesterday, and the CenturyLink people didn't even show up to talk about it.
Are they the sole source? Even if it is your line, have them come get their line. Can you, could you tell them to come take their line out and have it replaced by another company to do a better job?
No.
No? Okay, so they're, you're hung up. Not a good position to be in.
No. It's been elevated to the city manager's office, so maybe they can throw some weight around and get some stuff pushed around.
Enough said.
I mean, it hasn't halted the job. They're still doing work out there. They're doing other work, but eventually it will come to a point where it will cause a bottleneck, that they won't be able to work around it anymore.
So you put them on notice that they cause a delay and cause an additional cost to be borne by the city.
Yeah.
We done with the building?
That's all the updates that I have.
Updates?
Yep.
BHA maintenance request under airport minimum standards.
In front of everybody's a letter from BHA Aviation. This was Brian's company. He had the lease on the hangar. He's requested to continue to do work on the airport as a mobile mechanic under the minimum standards. Excuse me, as an individual. He'll continue to work on tenants' aircraft, helicopters, things like that. He's worked out an agreement with Ocala Aviation Services, where they are in accord with what he's proposing here. In fact, they offer some of his hangar space to work on some of the aircraft if need be. Brian is working on the certificate of insurance. I have an email copy that says that the insurance is there, but we need a certificate. So, but based on the minimum standards, along with the concurrence with the existing aircraft maintenance company on the field, staff recommends approval for the request under the minimum standards, subject to receiving that certificate of insurance. Brian's in the audience if you have any questions.
What is that?
Somebody's closing the door.
So, is the Does the city have any objections or?
No, staff recommends favorably on this. It falls within the minimum standards. It'll be the first mobile mechanic that'll be approved under the minimum standards. Brian will still be subject to a $500 annual fee. He still has to maintain the insurance. He can't do aircraft maintenance work in hangars that aren't rated for it. For instance, the T hangars, you can't do major repairs in the T hangars. You can do preventative maintenance. But major engine repairs, you're not supposed to be doing that in the T hangars.
What is that?
It's in the lease, and it's a fire code issue. Which it was important to have good accord with Ocala Aviation Services, because then you can do the maintenance in their hangar as well.
Well, they're in accord, and you're in accord, because, you know, you've been a long-term tenant of the airport. I don't really see any problem. I'm with approval.
We have a motion for approval.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And just for clarification, the staff recommendation was subject to receipt of that certificate of insurance. Okay. I do have an update on Ocala Aviation Services. I know they hire two additional mechanics. One has an extensive Warbird background, and the other guy has an extensive jet aircraft background. I wish they were here in the audience. They could give more of an exact update. I know that happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So overall, with Brian's proposal here and Ocala Aviation, I think the tenants are well served. Fueling ops? Fueling ops. I'm going to have Ken give that little update.
For this month compared to last month, or January of last year, on the avgas we're up 35.5%, and on the jet we're up 76.2% from what we were last year. So things are looking good in that. As far as the ops goes, for the last 3 years we've been doing nothing but going up and up and up, and it looks like this month compared to last year at this month, we're up almost 700 operations just in the month of January.
Friendly guys in the tower.
Say it?
Said the friendly guys in the tower.
Yep. Burke hired the base, yeah.
Burke was running them all off because he's an Alabama fan.
Go wrong direction, Jack.
Sorry, the door was closed.
So, quick question, are the statistics from gallons pumped or gallons received?
Gallons received.
Okay.
Deliveries into the tank. We're still keeping track. We're still comparing apples with apples, because Landmark provided us with delivery numbers, but did not provide us with into plane numbers. So we'll continue that analysis basically until June 1st. That's when Shelter took over, and we'll have into plane numbers. We'll have a more realistic business specific comparison.
It's probably pretty realistic except for evaporation or whatever, because if I can put it in the top,
well,
this kind of gives you a quick idea. For instance, this past January, we did 16,978 gallons received, and that kind of gives you the 35% compared to last month. But we only pumped 12,090 gallons, so gallons sold was 12,090, but we received 16,000, about 17,000.
Yeah.
With January, we sold about 53,000 gallons of Jet A and received 63,000 of Jet A. This month, we've sold 61,000 gallons of Jet A to date, and we've received 47,000 gallons of Jet A. So this month we're probably going to be below what January, what last February was, because Matt came by and showed me the numbers, and I think they received 66,000 gallons. And probably by the end of this month, we're going to have sold somewhere around 75 or 76. So just kind of, you know, give you an idea as we're moving forward. I think until June, we'll get like a, we'll get a really good comparison.
Yeah, I think that's better.
You know, just to.
Are we being paid for dumpage or flowage?
Flowage.
Flowage.
Okay. At one time, I get the dumpage.
Yes, the deliveries.
We don't really care about that. We care about the flowage because that's what we get.
Do you have Landmark's flowage numbers?
Their flowage numbers, I don't have them here.
But I mean, you have access to them?
I'm looking at gallons at pumps.
Yes. Yeah, ab gas.
Just to let you know, in January, we pumped, like I said, we pumped about 53,000 gallons of Jet A. And I believe Landmark pumped 40,750 gallons of Jet A. I think that's what.
You know what? If you can send me January through June numbers for Landmark, then I can actually make that transition immediately to show that the two different.
More beneficial.
Yeah, if you're able to do that. Because they never gave us those numbers.
It's given the fact that the year ends, some other it's going to balance out.
Yeah.
Get the fuel you can sell.
Yeah.
But it's better to track it by month. Some more accurate.
Okay, any more questions on the fueler ops? On Saturday, March 12th, there's a all-girls Young Eagles event. It'll take place on the airport. They're going to do some flights, club tower tour, simulators, pre-flights, things like that. They are getting an all-female Black Hawk helicopter crew to come in for it, and they'll do some ground school and tours of the helicopter as well. So that's on Saturday, March 12th. In this hangar? This hangar. Yeah.
That's the EAA chapter?
Yes.
Yep. Carol Ann is coordinating that one. Carol Ann Garrett.
Do we have anybody in the audience that would like to say a few words?
Grant Telecommunications, when I was with BH Aviation in the building they have now, was had two lines accessing the fire suppression system. They're still billing BH Aviation services. They said that they need a letter company on company letter stating change of ownership for that, those two lines for that fire suppression system. I've sent emails to get that. I never had a company letterhead when I was there outside of the Jet Jet Club. Because I just assumed the responsibility from the Jet Jet Club when I took over.
Right.
So there's like 2 months behind on heading the fire suppression system. And I don't know what's going to happen if they.
Sounds like a shell tariff.
Yeah, that's me. I can speak to you about that. Okay. The angles are.
Thank you. Other than that, airport's doing good, extremely busy. The season has really kicked off. A lot of jet activity. Hotels are all filled up. And I know Shelter did some maintenance inside the terminal. They repainted some of the walls. They put up those air dams on the entrances, both entrances, street side and air side. So hopefully that'll keep some of the air inside relative to the air outside, so and the horse rides too. That'll be a good test, yeah, you're right. So that's looking pretty good there too. And that concludes the staff report.
Any board members got any comments?
No.
Anybody out there?
Adjourn.
Motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations, Jerry. You made it through.
Did it, Jerry.
It was tough.
It was marginal.
It was. I mean, it's kind of like learning.